has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour.
Paul LaVoy.
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
I was born free. Thank you very much, Kid Rock. I think I was born hungry, Jim. He, him, and hungry?
Yes.
That's funny that that played today because I just had a recorded interview with a gentleman who is a program manager for the Arizona Food Bank Network.
Uh-huh.
And I mentioned that he had pronouns in his title.
Oh.
And I said, well, you can add he, him. His were he and him. And I said, you can add hungry and... Then you got mine. So anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It is Monday, April 13th, 2026, and we have two guests today. One, it's his final show.
Oh, my.
Right? Goalie Kavasu.
Yes, yes.
I told you I was going to get him a parting gift.
You did.
No, it was a good gift. And it wasn't anything expensive or anything. It wasn't a shrubbery.
Just very appropriate.
Yeah, I thought so. He could and never have to open it. Right? I'll let him know what that is during his segment. But first off, we have Lydia Henry is on the phone. We've had some confusion. People, I bet your phones are or were ringing off the hook, Lydia, as far as, you know, I'm not a registered Republican. I'm not a registered Democrat. What am I going to be voting on in the primary? But Lydia is the Mojave County Recorder. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, you're welcome. This is a little complicated issue, and I'm not sure how much the Secretary of State, what his role was in all this, Adrian Fontes, but anyway, take people through the, you know, where we were, where we are now with this ballot selection issue, or it was an issue. I guess now it's back to where it was, right?
Right. So Arizona has five political parties that are recognized. It's the Republican Party, Democratic Party, Libertarian, Green Party, and the No Labels. Those five are all five parties that are recognized in Arizona, and typically that's the party ballot you're going to vote in a primary. But if you're not with those parties and you're in the independent, party not designated, or other group, you've always been able to choose a Republican and Democratic ballot because they choose to have an open primary. They allow other people to vote in their primary elections. So the No Labels Party, we've talked about them back and forth a little bit since 2023, mm-hmm. and that's when they became recognized in Arizona as 23. In 24, they didn't allow any candidates to run on their party ballot. So at that time, we had about 700 voters that were registered as No Labels, and I felt it was my responsibility to mail them a letter saying your political party ballot is going to be empty because we had to create the ballot and we had to mail it to them to meet all state statutes. Oh. But it was they didn't get to vote for anyone unless they lived in a city, of course.
That's like a tree falling in a forest.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Who are you going to vote for in the blank ballot?
Right.
That's crazy. Yeah, what was the turnout for that one? Anyway, go ahead.
And then in 25, the No Labels Party was wishing to change their name to Arizona Independent Party. And that was approved by the Secretary of State's office, but it went to the Supreme Court and it was denied. So the remaining name is going to stay as the No Labels Party. Mm-hmm. And now they have opted to have an open primary. So if you're independent, party not designated, or other, you get to choose one of the three political party ballots. A Republican, a Democrat, or a No Labels.
See, Jim, we're special.
Yeah.
Because Jim is a PND just
yes.
like I am.
Yes.
He didn't realize it, though. He thought he was independent.
Yeah, I did.
Right. That's a big misnomer, isn't it?
It is. And so because of their name, it is confusing. Like, oh, well, I'll get like an independent type. Everyone will be on it. No, you won't have any local candidates unless you live in the city. All city races are nonpartisan, so if you live in the city, they're always going to be on every political party ballot. Huh. And then No Labels is a political party. So currently on the Secretary of State's website, they only have state candidates running that you'd be eligible to vote for. So we just want to remind voters, like, always do your homework before selecting a ballot, because if you pick it either by mail, in-person early voting, or on election day, that is the party ballot you'll have to vote. We can't exchange it for a different party because the candidate you want isn't on there.
This is only applies to the primary.
Correct. A general election, everyone that made it from the primary, all parties go on to one ballot.
Okay.
That's interesting. Now we have nonpartisan elections also for city council, mayor, in all three cities. And I think the judgeships, are they still nonpartisan?
Correct.
Excellent.
And so when you're nonpartisan, you're still on every political party ballot because you still get the option to vote for them regardless of your political party.
Okay.
They're usually like closer to last. You get through your political party races and then you have your nonpartisan races. If you are an independent, a party not designated or an other, and you don't want to choose a political party ballot, you can ask for a city town only ballot. It's not very common that people do that, because if you're voting, you want to vote typically on a political party line.
Mm-hmm.
But they can ask for a city town only ballot. That would be a nonpartisan. It would only have that, but you have to live, of course, within the precinct of a city.
Okay. I have to ask you, Lydia Henry, how nice is it not to have to go out and get petitions signed?
It's nice, but it'll start, you know, in 27. I'll be running in 28.
Okay. So you will be running.
I am running, yes.
Okay. So I take it you, and you were elected, right, after being appointed to the position. You were actually elected to the position also, correct?
Yeah, in 24.
Right. Who was your predecessor?
Christy Blair.
How long did you work for Christy Blair?
I've been in the office since 2018, so about 6 years I was with her.
Oh, my. Do you still use her as a mentor or reference? Because she was in the post for so long.
Yeah, we talk, but we don't talk too much shop very often.
Oh, really? That's the way to go.
Yeah.
There you go. So just meet for mimosas and perfect. I want to talk about early voting because we're not close to it, but our candidates forum on KNTR Talk, which is brought to you by, of course, Radio Central, the Today's News Herald, and the Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Our candidates forum with the mayor, city council candidates. There's probably more. I don't think we've actually finalized all that yet. Is June 17th. When is the date for early voting? When does that start?
So Wednesday, June 24th, is the first day of in-person early voting, and it's Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. until July 17th.
Now, is that only at the libraries again?
Yes.
Okay.
So the three main libraries in Kingman, Lake Havasu, and Bullhead. And then we have a new site for Colorado City, our North Canyon voters, but that's only going to be on July 10th and 11th.
I see. So for those of us who participate in elections when we're supposed to on election day, you like that?
Yeah, very good.
are those going to be precinct for the primaries?
Yes.
Okay. So each city obviously will have the precincts, and you would find in your election materials when it's emailed to you where you vote.
Yeah, so there'll be a mailer going out per year that comes from the Clean Elections Commission. It's like a booklet.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be more candidates in there that are for local races as well, because now they can participate in putting a bio. Also, all voters and anyone can search up their voting record. They can see their current status, where they live, their mailing, make sure everything's in order. And then you can get additional information like your prior voting history and your polling locations on there at my.arizona.vote.
We were talking before the show, and you said, oh, you moved? Did you re-register? And I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah. I have to re-register to vote?
Yeah, you hardly moved.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I moved in the same complex, but I moved nonetheless. So I still have to re-register?
Right. So even if you do move next door in a home, or if you just moved inside a condo or an apartment complex, you'll still want to re-register because your apartment number is changing. So if you're getting mail to that location in that apartment number, if mail is being delivered properly, it would likely be returned to us, which could send you to an inactive status. So you really just re-register to correct your apartment number or condo number.
Now I have to laugh. The key word was correctly. Right? If the mail is being delivered correctly. Yes.
Wow.
It's an inside joke. All right. Let's see. So we have early voting. And then when does early voting stop?
July 17th.
And that is, what, 4 days before?
The Friday before Tuesday Election Day.
Gotcha. Okay, so counting procedures, are they any different than they were the last election cycle?
On counting?
Is that a question for you or for Alan?
Yeah, that's more so for Alan, but there is a new law that has taken place for 2026 elections. It's an opt-in type style. So if you get a ballot by mail and you want to drop it off early at a ballot or in-person early voting location or at a drop box, all of our drop boxes are staffed because they're in the building and inside the early voting locations.
Mm-hmm.
You can opt to bring your driver's license and have your affidavit envelope stamped saying we verified your ID to the voter, and it skips the signature verification process. So it could speed up things a little bit, but overall, signature verification will still be the same process. We have been approved, and we've granted a contract to buy a early ballot sorting machine. I'm sure you saw that on a board agenda.
Right.
We're really excited for that. That's going to help us with receiving in ballots in a timely manner. Arizona law requires us to scan them in received prior to going to the signature verification process. And currently, there's a barcode on everyone's envelope, and that's what we scan. So repeatedly scanning it with a barcode scanner just over and over to get those all received in, and then it goes to the signature verification. So this machine will be able to receive up to 4,500 ballots in 1 hour.
Wow.
So really cutting down on, like, our process, as we're all humans, and there's a total of six of us. So the staff is really excited to have that. That'll help
sorting,
making sure that they're signed. You know, if an affidavit envelope's not signed, the voter only has until 7 p.m. to sign it on Election Day.
And that's called a provisional ballot, right?
That's an early ballot.
An early ballot.
Yeah, provisional ballots are what you get on Election Day. If the poll worker wasn't able to locate you in the poll pad on the voter rolls, or something in your voter roll isn't accurate, like you moved and you didn't re-register to vote, so you're in inactive status. You need a new...
I knew you were going there.
Well, and that's usually just what happens. But I don't think that would happen to you necessarily because you are still in the same precinct.
Well, and I'm Paul Lavoie.
Yes, of course. Hey, you were speaking of this new machine. So does that machine start with the sealed envelope and go through processes with the envelope and then open it and proceed with the contents?
Great question. So in my office, in the recorder's office for voter registration, the affidavit envelope always stays sealed. We're simply just looking at the outside of the envelope. We want to be sure that there is something inside the envelope to give you that voting credit, but when it goes to the elections department, they have what's called an early board, where it's about seven people, different political parties, gathered around, and they slice open that envelope. They send the ballot one way, they send the envelope another way, and then we do it in batches of 50, so they make sure they have 50 envelopes and 50 ballots separate. And that's where your immunity begins, really. That way no one is going to know whose ballot came out of which envelope.
Wow. That is far more complex than I ever pictured.
You said wow, not me. I'm not allowed to say that word anymore.
Well, anytime you guys are here in Kingman, I'd be happy to show you our process. I mean, don't blink because you'll miss our whole office. It's pretty small.
Oh, stop. I heard there's like 40 people in there.
No.
No? Jeannie's fibbing?
So in voter registration, we have four full-time staff members, and then we have a supervisor.
Okay.
So there's really five voter registration staff members for our 170-ish thousand voters. We hire temporaries for the early voting sites, and we hire two for in our office to help with the phones. But really, it's our full-time staff members that are fully trained, certified, and everything to host these elections.
You work pretty closely alongside Sue Ann Mello and Jeannie Kench, though, correct?
Of course, yeah.
Our county treasurer and county assessor. So, well, especially county assessor, I would imagine.
Yeah, so on the recording side of the house, my other hat, that's where we record the documents to make them a public record, and that has to do with Mojave County land. So your deeds, your trusts, your mortgages, all of that. Those then go to the assessor, and they transfer it for tax purposes and assess the value. And then it goes to the treasurer to get your tax bill. So, you know, it starts with me and ends with Treasurer Mello to get your tax bill. And if you don't pay your tax bill, it'll come back to me in tax deed sale.
Treasurer Mello. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. You know, well, there's a basketball player. His name is Carmelo Anthony, and they just call him Mello. So, Lydia, I want to come back after the break, and if you will allow me, we could talk about the, is it Property Protection Program? Is that the name of it?
So the Assessor Protection Program is through the Assessor's Office. I'm happy to chime in a little bit, but the Recorder's Office also has a subscription.
Oh, nice. Perfect. So we could talk about that when we come back, right?
You got it.
All right. Here's a little Simple Minds, right? Because I'm in a Simple Minds mood today.
Yes.
I'm a simpleton.
Yes.
All right. That's what we used to call people when they were a little slow, Lydia, was simpleton, right? Like Forrest Gump would be a simpleton.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, perfect. It's a polite term. It's not, it's not,
not derogatory
at all. Short bus maybe. So, all right. Back with more in a moment. A little Alive and Kicking by Simple Minds. I'm Paul Lavoie. Lydia Henry on the line. She is the Mojave County Recorder. And, of course, last but not least, Brother Jim Russell.
Yes.
From he's a co-host today. He's not with DSM Events.
No, that's right. Another hat, yes.
And we're going to make an announcement during Sean Buckley's.
Yes, yes, important.
Important.
All announcements.
Involving
on
you, me, Ticknor. No, I'm not a partner yet. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. And you can text us at the moment, 928-727-5566. Make this talk and text radio. Later on in the show, we will have D-backs tickets to give away. The Diamondbacks and the American League defending American League champion Toronto Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that? They went to the World Series last year.
No.
Forced the Dodgers to 7 games.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you did a good job. All right, stay with us on Speak Out. We'll be right back. You hear a Sean in there? Goodbye, Sean. Goodbye,
must
Sean.
Be there.
Goodbye, Sean.
Yeah, must be just subtle.
Goodbye, Jane. Code words, right?
Yeah, right. Must mean Sean.
Right. Broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. Find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. That's a lonely place, by the way.
Yeah.
Any place with Maytag in the name, it's pretty pretty lonely, right?
Uh-huh.
No, they do good business there, actually. They're right next to another fine sponsor in the Radio Central family, The Kind Connection.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot. We love The Kind Connection. Also, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative. Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet. Salmon's Air Conditioning. Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, And by A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com, the Hop Days, right?
Wise businesses that spend their advertising dollar right here.
You just say that because we give you a seat or what? On Mondays? When Sunny kicks you out because she's on an art project?
That's right.
Is that what it is?
Yes. I get lonely, yeah.
Nice. Lydia Henry, our guest, in for a couple more minutes, and I really appreciate you calling in. I know you've got a lot of candidate challenges going on right now, Lydia, and we really appreciate you as a Mojave County recorder checking in on Speak Out and setting the voters straight.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tell me about those. Can you talk about those challenges? What is involved there? Is it all in person or Zoom or both?
Most of them are Zoom because they are held in Superior Court in Maricopa County because their majority are for state races.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, you know, when a candidate gathers signatures, I'll give a quick overview.
No problem.
When candidates gather signatures to get onto the ballot, they need so many, and you always want to get a buffer because anyone can challenge those. So they submit them to whomever they submitted their statement of interest to, so either the Secretary of State's office, a city, or the county. And then anyone has 10 days to go in, and they can challenge those signatures. The challenge is this page number one, line number five, they're saying that person is not a registered voter, and they're not authorized and able to sign a petition for someone to get onto the ballot. So once we get those petitions and we get the exhibit of what they're challenging, it comes to the recorder's office, and that's when we review it to see do they really have enough signatures to get onto the ballot and things like that. So people often think signatures verified prior, and they're not even reviewed. I don't receive them in my office unless it comes in a court order.
Wow. It's a complicated process.
Yeah.
It is, but it goes by rather fast. You only have 10 days from the time someone files to challenge it, and then you have 10 more days to complete the entire process. So you need pretrial court hearings, your trial court hearings, mm-hmm. and then the judge has to make a decision by the 10th day.
Are there lots of challenges?
I know of one in particular I can go into because it's been decided, but David Rose was challenged for his legal status because he's a former felon from Kentucky?
Yes.
Yeah, and he was challenged by Jennifer Esposito, and the judge basically dismissed it because his rights were restored in Kentucky, which means they were restored in Arizona. She argued that, but I guess incorrectly, due to the U.S. Constitution. That's what was cited in the decision anyway. So from what I heard, not read, but heard. So that was an interesting case, though, Lydia.
Yes, very interesting. And most of them are. You know, I've been to a court hearing in the past where someone was pulled off of the ballot for not having one less signature than the amount.
Wow.
So it really does fall onto candidates to get enough and be sure that those that they're submitting are truly eligible to sign it. Like, if you're running on a political party ballot, it's that political party and the independents that can sign. So if you're running for a Republican race, a Democrat can't sign your petition.
Oh, really? Oh.
Because they're not eligible to vote for you in a primary election where that's likely going to decide who's winning that political race.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I know there's another possible challenge in Bullhead City for one of the council races. Have you heard that, Lydia?
I have heard of that challenge,
yeah. That's Tammy Ring, who's an incumbent councilwoman. So they're challenging like 75 or 80 signatures, something like that. So.
Okay.
Anyway, do you have anything else to add, Lydia, before I let you go and bring on our goodbye boy, Sean Buckley?
I can sing goodbye, too, but I would just like to talk about the Recorded Document Alert. This is a free subscription that we have on the recorder's office. It's online where you subscribe. All you need is a valid email address. Mm-hmm. And once you've activated your account, you can log in and add up to 5 names and 5 parcel numbers. This means when a document is recorded and indexed and made public record, you'll get an email that will show you those images that were recorded against your property, however you put in the information. That way, if there's something that shouldn't be recorded against you or your property, like a mechanic's lien or something like that, you would have the opportunity to take that right away and get the legal action needed to have it removed. The assessor's office has her address protection program, AAPP, that costs $50 per parcel, and then they personally call you and ask you, you know, there was a deed recorded, did you sell your property, and things like that.
Good, worthwhile. But,
can you believe that, Jim?
Yeah.
How much is LifeLock, right, compared to that?
Yeah, and then we do have the new Senate bill. I certainly don't want all of Assessor Kench's thunder, but Senate Bill 1479 has been through the House and the Senate and signed by the governor to be acted as law. So 90 days after signee dies, that'll go into effect, where individuals submitting documents to be recorded in person will have to show a valid ID. So we'll be doing some homework on our side, sending out press releases, notifying the public. That'll add, you know, you're showing who you are to submit a document for recording, where it's always been anyone can submit essentially anything. So that'll add in a good safeguard, and then there's a couple other things that'll go into play, more on the assessor side, and then some increasing penalty fines and things like that. But
you have to keep us up to date in a future show.
Now, one thing I didn't quite understand with this, the whatever the device was that you request the notice of things to be posted to your
recorded to your
property. Was that a $50 annual fee, or was that a one-time
fee? The assessor is a one-time $50 fee per parcel you're protecting.
Okay. See, that's
and then
go ahead.
The recorded one is free with your valid email.
See, that's my co-host. That was a great question, Jim.
Okay.
You got me 2-0 right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Well,
but you still got Sean
easy
coming
target.
In. So I get to press him. Lydia Henry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I look forward to our next call.
Studio.
I
Hello.
Like that, too. Yes.
I like that. You sit where Jim sits.
No.
She does.
Oh, my.
We give up your chair. Lydia, thank you so much.
This is heresy.
Again, that's Mojave County Recorder Lydia Henry, also known as Lydia Durst Henry. But I'm getting in the habit of Lydia Henry.
Okay.
Just because that's what it's going to be. Recorders are in there for like 30 years, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to call her Lydia Durst in 30 years. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out with, do I have to say outgoing?
No, probably not.
Probably not. Go Lake Havasu CEO Sean Buckley. And there's only a few more times I'll say that.
Yeah, after all, he's incoming now.
Yeah. I'm facing incoming, trust me. All right. Little Since You're Gone by The Cars for Sean. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Speak Out. It's getting crazy in here, Jim.
Yes, it is.
He's a good sport.
Too much having too much fun.
He's a really
good
sport.
What are we going to do without him?
I'm talking about him in the third person, right? Like he's going to answer me.
He's sitting to the right.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
Good morning, Paul. I'm well.
Good morning to you. This guy always answers my texts too.
What a guy.
He thinks I'm Dan Rather or something.
Must think
right?
You're important.
Well, I've got the gamut here. I've got my late night text from Paul, and I've got my first thing in the morning text from Jim, and I just know that I'm on.
Is it that late?
It's late-ish. Past 8 o'clock at my age? Come on.
Oh, at your age? You know I just celebrated a birthday, right?
Is that right? Happy birthday, Paul.
You don't want to know.
No.
Seriously.
You stacked them on.
I'm the last year of Boomer.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
64.
Yeah, carrying it on.
1964, not 64 yet. That's two more years.
I was trying to do the math there.
Yeah, it's 62. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, also by Springberg Wealth Management, by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, also Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost. Have you seen the store?
No.
That's pretty nice. Huh. Cleaned it up nicely. Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Doritas Place, and by Legacy Rehab and Care. And don't forget to buy local, or it's...
Bye-bye local.
Or bye-bye Sean.
Be nice. I'm sitting right here.
Wow.
I'm just laughing at my own jokes here. Kind of fun. just saying. So, obviously, you're leaving. This is your last show with
my last.
Who the heck am I going to pick on, man?
I have no idea. Here, yeah. Jim have got to carry the torch.
Could you call in?
You guys want me to call in once a month?
No. I don't know how I explain that to the mothership. Or the bowels of the mothership. I have no idea how I explain that one, Jim. You're going to get me on double secret probation,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, okay, where are you going?
Well, here's where tourism's going. This is what I wanted to talk with you guys a little bit about, because we're not done yet. Still work to do. Last week, guys, we spent, my PR manager and I spent 3 days in Las Vegas at the Go West Summit. So this one's a big one. This is a congregation of all the Western destinations, if you will. So it's a big room. It's a speed dating forum. You get about 15 minutes with each of the delegates. And we're meeting with receptives and tour operators from literally all over the world, guys. Everywhere from the U.S. We're talking with them in Europe, in Asia, in South America, in Central America. Just a really, really terrific exposure platform for Go Lake Havasu and the destination from a group perspective. And that's kind of the next frontier with tourism. You know, we've got the contracted event model that we're working with Jim and company on, and we've got some great success with that, and we've seen that kind of exponentially grow in exposure and awareness over the past year. But now we need to fill in the gaps, because a lot of the events focus over the winter and, you know, some of the shoulder months. We're still looking at summer. So how do we develop recurring business from a tourism perspective that'll carry us through all four seasons? And that's what we're after with the group business.
See, you can't leave, man. I just got used to your interview style.
Look, I'm telling you, I'm setting the table. All you guys have to do is dine once I'm gone.
I even have a follow-up. Like, can you give me an example?
Sure. Good examples, actually. We're working, okay, so there's a couple different ways that this works, Paul. You got two different markets when it comes to group travel. You've got the domestic and international charter, which comes on a bus once a week. They're filling up the parking lots. They've got a fixed itinerary. They're here for, you know, an afternoon and an evening. They're off the next morning. Or you have what's called a foreign independent traveler. This is an FIT traveler. And this is really what our market's really well poised for. So essentially, the receptives, the tour planners will go out with destinations, with hotel properties, with restaurant properties within those destinations, and start working out some group tour type volume plans and programs. And then they land in Las Vegas. They rent a car. They head down to Lake Havasu. They head back up to Route 66, whatever, past that point. But those are the two international and domestic markets that we're really looking to contract in terms of business moving forward. Over the past year, you guys have seen it. We went out with the Go For It campaign.
Yeah.
A lot of that's very leisure. A lot of it's very earned media focus. So we get, you know, develop that recognition nationwide. We get the recognition in Georgia. We're getting the social media traffic. We're getting the website traffic. All of it is translating into an increase in transient privilege tax, booking engine reservations on our website, et cetera, et cetera. But all of that's kind of ebb and flow-ish. You know what I mean? I can't really predict that 3-6 months out. You know, we're really hopeful for that kind of business. Whereas with group tourism, we can contract that business and we can forecast a quarter, 2 quarters out at a time.
What I saw when I saw the redesign and the Go For It was, this is your home to extreme sports. That's what it looked like.
Very much so. And those extreme sports are very different winter and summer, as we can all attest.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But if you're coming off of a bus any time of the year, any of those activities are very approachable. You know, I mean, in the summer, you can literally park at, you know, Home 2 Suites, for example, walk right down to Rotary, and you're in the water. You know, in the winter, you've got direct access to any of the on-land attractions. So it's all very relevant.
What is the miracle attraction to people when you're in those meetings? What brings them to Havasu? There must be a million similar communities
that are
competing.
You got three to my none today.
That's the first question I assume they're going to ask every time, Jim. That's perfect. And what I'll do is I'll draw a line right in the middle of the sheet of paper. Okay, we've got our winter season, we've got our summer season. So really you have two destinations in one in Lake Havasu City. Very different. In the summer, obviously, everything centered around and on the water. In the winter, a lot of that moves on land. We still have some fishing on the water, but most of it's side by side. We've got some golf, we've got some event attractions, things like that. So when you posture a community as a two-in-one that way, not only does it stand alone in the Southwest for everything that it offers, but even, you know, domestically, it looks like a very, very unique product.
So your last event here, I would imagine, is going to be Desert Storm.
Yeah,
right?
That's probably pretty much the last signature event that
I'm part of. You were here for it last year.
Yeah, yeah.
What'd you think?
Thought it was amazing. For something like that to be, you know, housed and owned by Lake Havasu City is really a tremendous asset. I don't think there's anything quite like it.
And the geofence proved what you knew all along, right?
Yeah. Has proved it for 3 years.
Yeah.
With the growth.
Tell people what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we geofence our events, all of the DSM events. In the event world, the impact on the community is very inaccurately portrayed by the event promoters.
Yeah.
And we believe in real figures and are proud of them. So we geofence them where an actual line is drawn around the real estate that the event will occupy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we contract for technology that literally counts the smartphones
by MAC address, I would imagine,
that are inside of that fictitious
synthetic
fence we've created. And an example is the street party of Desert Storm last year. We geofenced McCullough Boulevard, a little jog over into Birch Square and into the Commons.
Okay.
But the fence was drawn that critically around the actual area.
Just that small area?
Just that small area.
Wow.
From Riviera to Acoma.
I know the number. That's why I said wow.
Yeah. And in that area, between 1 p.m. and 9 p.m. on the Thursday of Desert Storm Street Party, there were actually counted 20,100 smartphones.
I wonder what Fright Night is when you think about
nothing
like that.
Nothing comes anywhere near that figure.
Oh, I know, but people are
nothing
always...
Nothing comes to half of that.
You always hear
figure.
These estimates, and I haven't heard that one geofence before. That's kind of the difference right there, right, Sean?
Well, it's more scientific. You know, I mean, as scientific as you can get with kind of casting this digital net and capturing all of the activity within that perimeter.
Good term for it. That's very neat.
That's kind of the way I look at it.
So I had a big breakfast meeting with this guy right here
on
Friday, right?
Yes, and my partner, Steve.
You and the partner, they bought me breakfast.
Nice. Yeah.
Right? Why in the world did you invite me to breakfast?
Well, we wanted to bring you to Blonzy's, of course.
Been there 100 times.
Yes.
Which I love.
Well, Steve and I have created a new position in the A-team of Desert Storm.
Don't worry, Steve.
That of event host. And we have twisted your arm over a great Blonzy's breakfast, and you are going to join us as the first Desert Storm host for all of our activities where we have a focal point for our guests and participants at our giant VIP tent, the largest tent ever in Havasu.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
8,500 square feet of tent.
If I use the term master of ceremonies, is that kind of appropriate or not?
It is, but I think you're really a host.
Okay.
We want to welcome. We want to personalize this. We enjoy so much benefit from our sponsors, and they are so important to the success and growth we've had with this event, and they just deserve to be hosted.
Well, in the words of John Lennon, I hope I pass the audition, right? Just saying.
The inaugural hosting.
Three,
trial by fire.
3 days, and there's I'll be at the welcome party, which is after the what, Cruising for a Cause?
Yes, Cruising for a Cause.
I'm not
is
there.
The first function.
Right,
yeah.
That's a phenomenal event.
That's going to be great.
Isn't that
yeah,
cool?
You bet.
That's the
very,
special needs kids in the
we're
boats.
We're very proud of that, thanks right. to the generosity of our exceptional and exceptionally wealthy participants. They provide their time and their beautiful, spectacular boats.
Yeah.
And we're able to provide free rides to special needs people and their caregivers in these boats just for them.
Folks, pick up a program. Did you drop programs off here?
No, yet? I have not yet.
Okay,
no,
well,
those
please
for
do.
General
because, oh, they're not.
No, no.
You should see this program.
I have a couple copies.
Yes.
And that's
and very much.
I went to Super Bowl 14.
Yeah.
Right? Rams and Steelers.
Yeah.
It looks like that.
It's got that kind of quality.
It does.
I was
you're welcome. You're welcome. And that calendar of events that you have.
Yeah.
Nice page.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, and Sean is a great example here. Sean and Gold Egg Havas, who are major sponsors of the event that enable us to have it, and we want to make sure they're recognized. We want to make sure they know what's
right.
what's happening at these various functions. And unlike, I think, any other event in Lake Havasu, all of Desert Storm, everything that makes up Desert Storm, is completely available and free to the public.
Yeah.
Other than what we do in the VIP tent,
right.
where
See,
we serve a wonderful Chagrus dinner to our sponsors and participants.
We're down about 2, maybe 3 minutes.
Okay.
But you're not. I don't think you're aware of the history when Jim Nichols owned it. It seems like it's really gone above and beyond that. Level now.
Yes.
It's Desert Storm was huge back in the day.
Yes,
I know radio
was.
Stations that had live broadcasts
yes.
from Desert Storm.
Yes.
But it's still bigger now.
It is.
And
it
now
is
you have the eye of the storm.
Yeah, the eye of the storm
you
is
heard
the
of this?
Commons.
I haven't.
That
I don't know
the
what
commons.
I have.
That's the commons.
Oh, okay.
During
yeah,
the street party, it's called the eye of the storm.
Nice.
And all the music will be generated from the Kicker Marine Audio.
Yeah, I knew that. You bet. Oh, that's
yeah.
great.
So
that's
I'll be
great.
Operating out of there. And
nice.
Yeah, come up and
yes.
say hi, folks.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, and Jim Nichols Sr. Created the event.
Right.
And it says we're in its 28th year.
Mm-hmm.
And he built it. We've just taken it literally to another level.
I got to ask Sean. One question before he leaves, right?
Of course.
Not where are you going, because you won't tell me anyway.
You'll keep trying.
No, not life. Not life.
Oh, okay. But you have interviewed somewhere.
Oh, I've got.
You got tentacles.
Considerations,
out?
You know.
We call them tentacles in the nonprofit world, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or I used to be in that world. So the question would be, if there's a Sean Buckley legacy after, 14 months,
mm-hmm.
what would it be?
You know, I hope the one thing that I took, obviously, I hope I left things in a much better spot than when I found them, obviously. And I think in a lot of ways we have. But what I really hope more than anything is that I've narrowed our focus. You know, we have a good leisure message. We have a good events support program.
Yes.
And we've got good community relations that we can build on. But now let's streamline that focus. Let's go after the contracted business. Let's really do things daily that prove our worth, provide our value to the community, prove our existence. And I think a lot of that comes from event support, from continuing the compounding messaging on the leisure side, and going after group business and really dedicating a force to contracting that, keeping that recurring.
Did you just say let's like 3 times?
I might have.
What
again,
the hell?
I'm not done what? Until the day after I'm done.
Oh, you're that guy.
I am that
you're
guy.
Like me.
I cannot.
What pizza party? Have the pizza
exactly.
party the day after I leave.
Absolutely, right. We got things to do here.
Awesome. Well, I've enjoyed working with you.
Guys, it's been a pleasure.
On the show.
Absolutely.
I'll never look at the term rocking with Dawkin again without a tear in my eye.
I hope it makes you think of me, Paul. I really do.
You should stay close, though, because Sebastian Bach is coming to the Blue Water.
Is that right?
Yeah, in
I'm
June.
Keep an eye out.
Yeah.
See you there,
yeah, yeah, that's going to be phenomenal. You know who that is, right?
Oh, absolutely.
From
Skid Row.
Yeah, the original Skid Row.
Yeah.
So I got to play some Leanne Rimes for you, right?
Oh, that's like Dawkin.
How do I live? Is
how
the name
I
of the
live
song.
Without you. Oh,
exactly.
Sing it to me, boys.
Nah, I'm good. I'm just kind of playing around. Because, like I said, I was going to get you a parting gift.
Yeah.
You know, the Arizona iced tea.
Yeah.
So for your time in Arizona.
Look, Leon Rimes is right there.
I didn't have time.
Everything is good.
I probably didn't have the money. Yeah. That's why I'm moonlighting with Jim.
Yeah, working nights.
No, actually, times are not tough. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, good.
Not
good.
Tough at all.
Well, all the best of success to both of you,
thank
gentlemen.
You,
thank you,
sir. You too.
Thank
absolutely.
You. Thanks so much.
And you better tell me off the air.
I might have to.
All right.
All right.
Stay with us. I'll be right back on Speak Out. I'll give you a final shot when we come back. Let you know who's on tomorrow. All right, headed up towards the top of the hour, Sean Hannity, right? After news and a short break. But you already know that, right, Jim?
Yes, indeed.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.